Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program. Happy to be back with you again in these final days of the Christmas season after having taken a little time off. And I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and Blessed Epiphany. I hope your days have been filled with immense joy and peace as we've celebrated the birth of our Savior, as well as commemorated the beginning of a new year. And with this new year comes a year of Saint Joseph and a year of the family, both declared by Pope Francis. And I'm sure there will be many special graces coming for the world, graces which are desperately needed. Well, it's very tough coming back on the heels of such darkness and sadness as is enveloping our country right now. I really don't have any deep analyses for you concerning the events that have taken place over these past few days. I know we're just all weeping for the state of our country and even the state of our church. One thing and one thing only is very clear, though. We need saints. That would be a very good New Year's resolution for us, to become a saint at all costs. The great Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta said that any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use any violence to get what it wants. America needs no words from me, she said, to see how your decision in Roe v. Wade has deformed a great nation. And then after saying that, Mother Teresa asked the question that we all often ask, how do we persuade a woman not to have an abortion? She answered, as always, we must persuade her with love, and we must remind ourselves that love means to be willing to give until it hurts. Well, very wise words there from Mother Teresa. We will only conquer evil, overcome injustice, and spread the kingdom of God here on earth by love, by giving entirely of ourselves until it hurts, and encouraging others to do the same. We will not conquer evil by force or by breaking the law, but only by doing violence to ourselves. We will only conquer evil just as our Savior did, through the cross, through death to self. And being part of this movement to end abortion, which is one of the most important things to be involved in, will teach us how to love and how to give ourselves unconditionally to others. This is what our country and church most need from us right now. So let's pray together. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. God gives us the gift of life in units of years and months and days, and we likewise give it back to Him in days and months and years of faithful service. In this new year, let us put the defense of the unborn at the top of our priority list. Lord, enable us to devote more time, energy, and resources to the greatest human rights movement of our day, the pro-life movement, and to become saints doing so. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill announced this past week that no charges will be filed as a result of an investigation into Dr. Ulrich Klopfer, the late abortionist who had stored on his own private property the fetal remains of over 2,000 babies he had aborted between the years 2000 and 2002. The remains were medically preserved and had been kept in biohazard bags and placed in cardboard boxes stacked from the floor to the ceiling in his garage at his Illinois home. Klopfer, who died in September of 2019, had performed performed abortions at his clinics in South Bend, Fort Wayne, and Gary. The investigation revealed that Dr. Klopfer failed to arrange for the appropriate disposition of patient health records or notify his patients regarding their records from his closed medical practice, and that he failed to effectuate the proper disposition of the fetal remains as required by Indiana law. The probe concluded that since no one is believed to have assisted Dr. Klopfer in his actions, and because Dr. Klopfer is dead, he cannot be charged with a crime or with medical misconduct. As a result, no charges were filed. This horrific ordeal is exactly why we need strong laws to ensure the dignified disposition of fetal remains, Attorney General Hill stated. And statistics compiled by Worldometers show that over 42.6 million abortions took place worldwide in 2020. By contrast, 8.7 million died from cancer last year, 5 million from smoking, 13 million from disease, and 1.8 million from the coronavirus. Worldometers estimates that a total of 59.6 million deaths occurred worldwide in 2020, but that figure does not include the deaths of the unborn babies killed by abortion. Here in the U.S., nearly 1 million babies are aborted every year, making abortion the leading cause of death in our country as it is in the world. And in a defiant march for the use of gender-inclusive language, House Democrats have approved gender-neutral language in the official House rules and established a permanent Office of Diversity and Inclusion. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that changing pronouns and familial relationships in the House rules to be gender-neutral are necessary changes meant to honor all gender identities. Instead of words like father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, and so on, the House will use language like parent, child, sibling, parent's sibling, sibling's child, parent-in-law, and so forth. Additional rules changed other words like chairman to chair and himself or herself to themselves. In response to the absurdity, Republican House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy tweeted, "This is stupid." Signed, a father, son, and brother. Finally, 21 unborn children were intentionally killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Several women came to 421 South College Avenue from Kentucky, Ohio, Tennessee, and various Hoosier counties to have the life of their unborn child ended. Sidewalk advocates and prayer partners were on hand all day long in the cold and wind to offer love, hope, and help. One woman reported that she did not go through with the abortion, and a few others accepted post-abortive material as they left. Please continue to pray for all of these women and their families, and for the conversion of the workers there. And that's your weekly in the news. Well, it's the new year, and that means making some New Year's resolutions. And I can't think of a better pledge to take than to commit ourselves to making a much stronger effort throughout this year to become more like Christ in the way we pray, fast, do penance, think, act, talk, in every way, begging for that grace we need so that we ourselves will decrease while Jesus increases in us. You know, back in 1943, Pope Pius XII devoted an entire encyclical to this subject, and it was called Mystici Corporis Christi, which means on the mystical body of Christ. The writing stressed the responsibility of all the faithful, including the laity, to work toward the perfection of the mystical body of Christ here on earth in order to overcome these evil times. Pope Pius XII wrote, "It is the will of Jesus Christ that the whole body of the church, no less than the individual members, should resemble him." He penned those lines and this great encyclical in the midst of the Second World War, a time of enormous suffering when many thought that the end of the world was nigh. Well, the encyclical was also an urgent call to the apostolate. Now, the word apostolate is defined as all the activity of Christ's mystical body, which is directed to the purpose for which the church was founded, namely, the spreading of the kingdom of Christ throughout the earth for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. Every baptized Christian is a part of the living body of Christ's church, and so must actively share in the functions of the whole body. Laity living in the world must be like leaven in the world with the zeal of Christ. They must be true witnesses of Christ by becoming more like him in every way so that they can better confess him before men. A few weeks back on the second Sunday of Advent, the church's readings centered on the necessity of the apostolate, and I discussed that on the show that aired that weekend. One of the greatest models that we have to show us how to live out this important and noble calling to the apostolate comes from St. John the Baptist, whom we heard from on that second Sunday of Advent, a voice crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John's task was to prepare the hearts of his Jewish brethren for the coming Messiah and to give his people knowledge of salvation. Well, this Sunday we hear about St. John the Baptist again. This time at the end of the Christmas season, when he baptizes the Savior in the waters of the Jordan. St. John the Baptist was one of the greatest collaborators with our Lord in the work of redemption, and he died a martyr for truth. We should look to him as a shining example in these times. James chapter 5, verse 10 tells us, "Brothers, as your models in suffering hardships and in patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." Well, by our baptism into the mystical body of Christ, we too are called to participate in Christ's saving mission. And that's what Pope Pius XII's encyclical, The Mystical Body of Christ, is all about. By his passion, death, and resurrection, Jesus alone merited all the graces necessary to redeem and sanctify every member of the human race. He alone acquired the vast treasury of grace. But he positively willed to have what can be called little co-redeemers who are needed to help distribute these graces. In his encyclical, Pope Pius XII wrote, "It is manifestly clear that the faithful need the help of the divine Redeemer. Yet this too must be held. Christ requires the help of his members. This is not because he is indigent and weak, but rather because he has so willed it for the greater honor of his spotless spouse, the church." In other words, Jesus needs us in order to help save souls. The salvation of our fellow brothers and sisters depends on our generosity and faithfulness to, first and foremost, prayer and penance, and then also to the works of the apostolate. Pope Pius XII wrote, "Dying on the cross, he left to his church the immense treasury of the redemption, towards which she contributed nothing. But when those graces come to be distributed, not only does he share this work of sanctification with his church, but he wills that in some way it be due to her action. This is a deep mystery and an inexhaustible subject of meditation, that the salvation of many depends on the prayers and voluntary penances which the members of the mystical body of Jesus Christ offer for this intention, and on the cooperation of pastors of souls and of the faithful, especially of fathers and mothers of families, a cooperation which they must offer to our divine Savior as though they were his associates." Pius XII goes on, "We desire that all who claim the church as their mother should seriously consider that not only the clergy and those who have consecrated themselves to God in the religious life, but the other members of the mystical body of Jesus Christ as well, have each in his degree the obligation of working hard and constantly for the building up and increase of this body." I'm going to keep reading from Pius XII's encyclical on the mystical body of Christ because it is so rich. He gives us the game plan for how we are to become saints and overcome evil and injustice in this world. He writes, "For although our Savior's cruel passion and death merited for his church an infinite treasure of graces, God's inscrutable providence has decreed that these graces should not be granted to us all at once. But their greater or lesser abundance will depend in no small part on our own good works, which draw down on the souls of men a rain of heavenly gifts freely bestowed by God. These heavenly gifts will surely flow more abundantly if we not only pray fervently to God, especially by participating every day, if possible, in the Eucharistic sacrifice. If we not only try to relieve the distress of the needy and of the sick by works of Christian charity, but if we also set our hearts on the good things of eternity rather than on the passing things of this world, if we restrain this mortal body by voluntary mortification, denying it what is forbidden, and by forcing it to do what is hard and distasteful. And finally, if we humbly accept, as from God's hands, the burdens and sorrows of this present life. Thus, according to the Apostle, we shall fill up those things that are wanting of the sufferings of Christ in our flesh for His body, which is the Church. If we have really at heart, the Pope wrote, the salvation of the whole human family, purchased by the precious blood, we must offer every day to the Eternal Father our prayers, works, and sufferings. And while the skies are heavy with storm clouds and exceedingly great dangers threaten the whole of human society and the Church herself, let us commit ourselves and all that we have to the Father of mercies, crying out, look down, we beseech thee, Lord, on this thy family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ did not hesitate to be betrayed into the hands of evil men and to undergo the torment of the cross. These words of the late great pontiff should incite us to commit ourselves to being ever more generous in the works of the apostolate this coming year and becoming more like Christ. The salvation of many souls depends on you and on me. God put us in this time and place for a reason. As I said, Pope Pius XII wrote those words during the horrific crisis of World War II, and things have only gotten more dark and evil since that time. It's estimated that World War II killed between 70 and 85 million people, either directly through war or from war-related disease and famine. But abortion has been far more deadly. Last year alone, the war against the unborn resulted in over 42 million deaths worldwide. Multiply this by the number of years that abortion has been readily accessible and legal, and it makes the casualties from the world wars look minuscule. All of this being said, I'd like to encourage you to prayerfully consider getting more involved with the local pro-life efforts as part of your New Year's resolution. Specifically, to be the hands and feet of Christ there at 421 South College Avenue by becoming a sidewalk advocate for life or a prayer partner. As you've probably heard mentioned now on several different occasions, there's a training session coming up on Saturday, January 23rd at the Mother of the Redeemer Retreat Center. There's no obligation to commit to anything, so you can just come and check it out. You'll learn how to approach women as they go into the Bloomington Planned Parenthood and what to say and what not to say. The goal is to be the light of Christ to those who are walking in darkness. The women and men going in and the workers there depend on us being out there. The unborn babies depend on us being out there. The salvation of souls depends on us being out there. I invite you to attend the training on Saturday, January 23rd from 10 a.m. until about 3 p.m. at the Mother of the Redeemer Retreat Center. Materials and lunch will be provided, and you can call 812-825-4642, extension 1, to register. There's already a nice size group registered, and we'd love to have you too. Above all, we'd be so grateful for your prayers and asking the Master of the Harvest to send out more workers into the fields there at 421 South College Avenue. Let's remember that it is a great honor to take part in the redemptive work of our Lord. May it please God that we always do so very generously. Well, when I was growing up, my mom always would say, when it rains, it pours. And boy, did the bad news pour down over us this past week. Aside from what happened in Washington, D.C., we had the results of the Georgia Senate races. Both seats were captured by Democrats in that runoff this past Tuesday, and both candidates won by slim margins. John Ossoff, who was running against Republican incumbent David Perdue, became the highest-funded candidate in history, with $139.6 million ensuring his victory, money which came from pro-abortion organizations. So now the Senate chamber is split with 50 Republicans and 50 Democrats. If members vote along party lines, the Vice President, Kamala Harris, will get the deciding vote. So we've got a Democratic pro-abortion president and Congress for at least 2 years. As soon as Biden takes office, we can expect a slew of executive orders that will include abortion funding and transgender mandates. We have to also be prepared for bigger things to come, like the Equality Act, the repeal of the Hyde Amendment, and the codification of Roe v. Wade. The only hope is that some of the more moderate Democrats in the Senate, and there are a few of them, do not go along with the extreme ideology of abortion on demand, same-sex marriage, and transgenderism. We've got our work cut out for us this year and the next, that's for sure. We know, however, God's still on the throne, and so we just continue to work and pray, confident that He will work all of this unto a greater good. Now, we were truly blessed over these past 4 years to have the Trump administration's ears on matters concerning the protection of women and their unborn children. A lot was accomplished, in fact, and I'd like to quickly review some of those things. First of all, let me say that there is enormous pressure worldwide for countries to embrace the killing of the unborn. There's a lot of intimidation and threats involved for not kowtowing to the God of choice. But something remarkable and unprecedented happened on October 22nd of last year under the leadership of the Trump administration. 32 UN member states signed the Geneva Consensus Declaration on promoting women's health and strengthening the family. The U.S. was the driving force behind this declaration, which had four pillars: better health for women, the preservation of human life, including the unborn, strengthening of family as the foundational unit of society, and protecting every nation's sovereignty, making sure that every nation has a right to make its own laws in regard to abortion without any external pressure or threats. Unfortunately, it didn't take long for George Soros, Planned Parenthood, and other agencies to launch an all-out attack against this declaration and the countries that had signed it. The African countries that had adopted the declaration, namely Kenya and Uganda, came under enormous pressure from wealthy pro-abortion groups to renege, and threats of the removal of financial aid were lobbed at them. Those threats continue to this day, especially with pressure now coming from the wealthy United Nations. And there's no doubt that these countries will be placed under further duress to accept abortion under the Biden administration. Nevertheless, the Geneva Consensus Declaration was a huge pro-life victory last year and sent a strong message to the world that not every nation is on board with the killing of the unborn. Another huge pro-life victory last year was the expansion and enforcement of what is called the Mexico City policy. Simply put, it's a federal rule that bars taxpayer funding of overseas abortions. Its expansion and actual enforcement really tells you just how serious the Trump administration was in wanting to walk the walk when it came to helping and abortion. Now, the Mexico City policy was first passed by President Ronald Reagan in 1984. But on January 22, 1993, President William Clinton rescinded it. And it's been a tug of war, back and forth battle between presidents since then to keep it in place. Now, unfortunately, the Mexico City policy was generally seen as a token policy given to pro-lifers. And as I said, it forbade federal taxpayer dollars from funding abortions overseas. But it had very little teeth to it and very little, if any, oversight. Past presidents only required that foreign grant recipients sign a pledge stating that the money would not go to perform or promote abortion as a requirement for receiving U.S. funding. But last year, the Trump administration went further and wrote up policies that closed loopholes and actually assured compliance. This gained the ire of Planned Parenthood and all those others who support abortion. We can expect Joe Biden on January 22nd to once again rescind the Mexico City policy, as has every Democratic president. And this is all a reminder again to pray much for Biden's conversion. Now, as a little side note, you may have seen in Newsweek where the president of Planned Parenthood, Alexis McGill Johnson, said that the country's largest largest abortion provider, has already been working closely with the Biden-Harris transition team to ensure that they're ready to hit the ground running on day one. Johnson said the first thing we would like to see would be an executive order on day one that demonstrates the administration's commitment to sexual and reproductive health care. And that very first thing on Johnson's wish list was the elimination of the Mexico City policy. And among other things, she and her organization are already anticipating that Biden will not only restore full federal funding to Planned Parenthood through the Title X program, but will also sizably increase it. In 2019, Trump had created a new rule that said that Title X providers must be able to prove that no federal money is being spent on abortion. This rule was said to have deleteriously affected some 900 Planned Parenthood clinics nationwide. So that had been another big pro-life victory under Trump. Johnson also told Newsweek that she expects a substantial federal grant for comprehensive sex education programs and is hoping for the repeal of the Hyde Amendment. And she lamented how, for the past 4 years under the Trump administration, sexual health and reproductive programs had been woefully underfunded, and she sees this course being reversed under the Biden administration. But that's not all that Johnson is excited about. The president of Planned Parenthood said that her organization has been focused on appointments within the White House administration and various federal agencies. She said they've identified and recommended nearly 200 people for key positions. Johnson said, "We know that personnel is policy, so we're making sure that those positions are filled with sexual and reproductive health champions." Again, we've got a lot to pray and offer up penances for. As some of you may know, I have a son who is in the Archdiocesan Seminary. Besides praying, studying, and attending classes, the seminarians are also involved in works of the apostolate. And one of those is helping to teach religious education in parishes throughout Indianapolis. Well, one Sunday, my son and a fellow seminarian were teaching a class of sixth graders and discussing the admonition of Jesus to love our enemies, bless those who curse you, and pray for them. Well, one of the students piped up, and I kid you not, he said, "Well, we don't have to pray for someone if they are really, really bad like Donald Trump." Well, the seminarians kindly responded, "Well, yes, we do. We shouldn't hate anyone and we should pray for everyone." Meanwhile, most of the other young students were now chiming in, "Oh no, Trump is so evil. We don't pray for him." And when my son was telling me this, I was dumbfounded and sick to my stomach. Those poor children weren't coming up with this on their own. They had been taught this by parents and family members and teachers, probably. And the point I'm trying to make here is not to demonize those who are against President Trump, but to use this as a warning that we not develop that same attitude toward Joe Biden. We must make a commitment to pray much for him and to think about taking on some type of serious penance for his conversion. Imagine if all the Catholics who know better actually did this. He might just experience a conversion. The salvation of souls depends on us. Okay, quickly, a couple other big things that went on last year in the fight against abortion as we do a little recap here. The acting administrator of the U.S. Agency for International Development, John Barsa, sent two scathing letters to the U.N. Secretary General in May and again in October for allowing U.N. agencies and U.N. experts to promote abortion and using the COVID-19 pandemic as an excuse to do so. Along with that, the U.S. mission to the U.N. rejected a draft agreement on humanitarian assistance for emergencies that would have given cover for U.N. agencies to promote abortion. The draft agreement would have labeled sexual and reproductive health as essential to international humanitarian aid, as well as have called upon those healthcare providers who object to performing abortions to at least make referrals for them against their conscience. U.S. Ambassador Kelly Craft boldly told U.N. member states that there is no international right to abortion, nor is there any duty on the part of states to finance or facilitate abortion. And finally, U.S. Ambassador to Geneva Andrew Bremberg sent a blistering letter to U.N. human rights experts because of their abortion advocacy. They had accused U.S. states who did not label abortion an essential service during the COVID-19 pandemic of violating women's rights. Bremberg's letter, dated August the 11th, called the interference of those so-called UN experts on human rights bizarre, absurd, and inexplicable. He said their work was a perversion of the human rights system and the founding principles of the United Nations. And Bremberg noted how these same experts were completely ignoring ongoing human rights abuses by the Chinese Communist Party, including forced abortion, forced sterilization, and forced birth control. There is one thing that can certainly be said about the Trump administration. It went to bat on numerous occasions for women and their unborn children and saved countless lives through all the defunding efforts. Unfortunately, we'll see an entirely different course set in 2021 under the leadership of a Catholic president and a Catholic Speaker of the House. Christ was handed over to be crucified by his own people. Well, in a similar way, over the next few years, the unborn will be betrayed and all the more easily delivered into the hands of abortionists by Catholic leaders who should, were they following church teaching, be their rescuers. We must pray intensely for the slaughter of the innocents surely cannot continue on without grave punishment falling upon our nation. I'm out of time. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next week, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.